It's good to be here, and we appreciate the opportunity that Brother Ken has given us. We don't get to preach much, and we like to preach more than we do sing. But when we get the opportunity, we never turn it down, because it might be the only opportunity we get. But we enjoy being here. We enjoyed it last night, and this morning so far has been really good. But I almost open our Bibles to John chapter number 20. And I'm interested in this morning. There are some people in the Bible that we find Jesus standing right next to or right in front of, speaking to them. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. And, you know, it's important for us as Christians to recognize Jesus, know who he is.
Amen.
You know, and if you've been saved any length of time, It's real important in a church service when God moves in.
Amen.
To know if he's there or not. I know a lot of people, and I believe they're saved, but they're ignorant to God moving.
Amen.
And a lot of people are. They don't know that. They sit there and look around like, what is going on here? You understand? But God shows up sometimes in the most unexpected ways. And when God does reveal himself to you, it's different every time. It's never the same. That's why we serve such a great God. You know, a lot of these gods that people worship, they go to the same God every day, and they pray the same way they always prayed, and their God does the same thing he always done. Just sit there and look at him. But our God, he'll get in the car with you when you're going down the road. He'll move into your bedroom with you. You know, when you're in there seeking his face and you don't know what to do, and you're at a crossroads in your life, God will move right in there with you. And he'll bring peace to your heart like no one else can. I'm married. I have a wife. And there are times that she'll comfort me. She'll bring peace to my life. But she can't do it like God can. Because God can bring peace in a time when there's no way there can be any peace. And he can speak peace to your life. But in John chapter number 20, I just want to read a few verses here. In John chapter number 20, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. And here we find, you know, Mary has come to the tomb and she's looking for Jesus. And in verse number 14, we find her. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. And knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You know, it was at that point he called her name. When he spoke her name, that's when she recognized him. Now we're going to be seated. Now I want to preach for just a little bit on recognizing Jesus. Recognizing Jesus. It's important that we be able to recognize him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day and I thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that you will help me now. And be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, I got to studying a little bit. You know, when you recognize someone's voice, that there are some important things that go along with that. You know, we think of, you know, I've not been around Brother Ken very much, and so his voice is unfamiliar to me. It would take me a while to recognize him. But you know, when voice recognition begins, it begins before birth. You know, when a child is in the mother's womb, that child begins to hear that mother speak and talk. And it begins to recognize that mother's voice. That's why when that baby is birthed into this world, that mother begins to speak and it calms that baby. The last boy that was born to me, he come out, he was screaming something awful. It was the first one like that. All the other ones come out real quiet-like. But But he was crying. My wife began to speak, and it calmed him. You understand that? That's where voice recognition begins, is before birth. Well, see, you know, we're speaking this morning, though, of recognizing our Savior. You know, when voice recognition begins with our Savior is before birth. That time when He begins speaking to your heart and calling you to that place of salvation. You know, that's why we can recognize His voice. If you've never been saved this morning, you're not going to recognize His voice. Because that recognizing His voice begins at a salvation experience. A time in your life when you was birthed into the family of God. You know, and Mary here, you know, Jesus spoke to her before He called her name. He said, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" He spoke. She didn't recognize. It wasn't until He called her name. See, do you remember the time when Jesus called your name? When he first spoke to you. And when Jesus speaks your name, you will recognize Him. You'll know it's Him talking to you. You know, He can speak your name like no one else can. He can speak your name and you know that it's Him talking. You understand? And there are several things about voice recognition that is important. You know, Mary recognized Jesus when He spoke her name because it was a what I would call a first voice. It was that first voice that she had heard. That voice, you know, when she was the one that had the seven devils in her. This was Mary Magdalene. She had those seven devils in her. And the Lord spoke and told those seven devils to depart. You understand? That was that first voice that she heard. You know, before that, she had done the bidding of the devil, of Satan. You know, and her own flesh. You know, whatever desire, you know, she went and did it. But at that voice, things change. You understand? She was made new. She had no interest in the things that she did before. You know, she was one of these that you find Jesus in certain places and this woman is there. You understand? You know, it changed her life when Jesus first spoke her voice, spoke to her, spoke her name. But, you know, not only is this a first voice, but, you know, I believe this was a familiar voice to her. Oftentimes, I believe she had sat and heard Him speak and teach. And, you know, those are some things that are important in recognizing a voice. But we'll go on a little further here. And you know, in verse number 19 of the same chapter, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you," when they saw the Lord. You see, when Jesus appeared to them, He stood in the midst. They didn't know who He was. Even when He spoke and said, "Peace be unto you," they did not recognize Him. It was not until He showed them His hands and His side that it was revealed to them. This is the Lord. Well, see, if you've never had an experience with God of salvation and knowing what He's done for you, you know, that's part of recognizing Him, is knowing what He did on Calvary for you. You understand? And they recognized, you know, when Mary recognized Him, it was when He spoke her name. But when these disciples standing there, when they recognized Him, it was when He showed them His love. See, He showed them what He had done for them. He showed them, you know, He's the only one that could do that. No one else could have died in their place. But when he showed them, "Hey, I'm the one that died for you," boy, they recognized Him. You know, and you know, it's good to see Him sometimes. Now, there are certain times, you know, when He appeared to these disciples, He even spoke and they still didn't know Him. It was like He was hidden from their view. But it's good when He does reveal Himself, and every time it will be different when He does reveal Himself. Now, there's one more place I want us to go to. And that's in Luke chapter number 24. You know, when Mary recognized Him, it was by His words, the words that He spoke. And those disciples, they recognized Him by His wounds. Because nobody has wounds like our Savior does. And I believe that they're fresh, flowing wounds. I don't believe they're scars healed over. You know, in Revelation it talks about, it says, we'll see Him as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I believe we're going to see Him just like He was there on Calvary. But here in Luke chapter number 24, we find two people, is what we call the Emmaus Road. They was on the road to Emmaus, and they was headed home. You know, they had been there when Christ was crucified. And they're walking back home, and they're discussing things that have taken place. And this man comes up to them. They don't recognize Him. It's Jesus, though. And He starts walking with them. And in verse number 24, it says, and beginning at Moses, it's talking about Jesus, and all the prophets, He, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. Here we find another group of people. Jesus was walking with them. Jesus, you know, I would have loved to have been there that day, because you would have heard one of the greatest messages. And, you know, I don't know where He took His text, but I believe He went to several places in the Old Testament revealing Himself. And He possibly went some places I've never seen. I would have liked to have been there. But even when Jesus, you know, I would have asked Him, you know, who are you? You know, how do you know so much about these passages that you're going to? But these people walking with Him are just, listen, they were so burdened with what had taken place. You understand? And a lot of times, there'll be burdens in your life that will hinder you from seeing Jesus in your life and His work that's going on. You see, a lot of times we get our eyes on a problem, on something that's taking place. And it, to us, it looks big, but to God, it's little. Right. We need to get our eyes off that and get our eyes on Him. That's how we're going to see Him when He reveals Himself to us. You understand? But these people are walking along, and even in His preaching to them and expounding on the Scriptures, they had no idea it was Him. It was not until He did something very significant that we find in the Scriptures. It was not until He broke the bread. And you see, many times we as preachers and some pastors that are here, every Sunday you stand behind the pulpit and that's what you're doing. You're breaking bread for God's people. And you know, when we break bread, we ought to do it just like Jesus did. You see, Jesus lays out a pattern in His ministry. See, He broke bread not just on this occasion, but He broke bread several times. And he lays out a pattern for us as preachers of how we ought to break bread. You know, when we break bread, it ought to do some things for the people of God. You know, it ought to make a difference in their life. A lot of people, a lot of preachers, and some so-called preachers, I've heard them break bread, and I often scratched my head and wondered what was going on. You understand? It was a little confusing. But when bread is broke properly, when the Word of God is given to the people of God in the right way, it'll do three things for you. The first thing it will do, in Luke chapter number 9, we'll turn over there to Luke chapter number 9. And this is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And here we find Jesus breaking bread. Look in verse number 16 of Luke chapter number 9. Then He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed them and brake, and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. You know, that this multitude of people were starving. They was hungry. They was in need. You know, God's people all week, you know, are out in the world. But when they come to church on Sunday, they're in need. They're starving. They need something from God. You know, when Jesus broke the bread here, it brought refreshment. You know, it did something for those people that nothing else at that time would have done. You know, Jesus could have stood there and told them jokes. told stories, and they would have been great stories. But that was not what these people needed. These people needed bread to help them. And this bread, it brought refreshment. And you know, we as men of God, when we stand and preach, when we preach from the Word of God and break the bread for the people of God, it ought to bring refreshment in their life. It ought to bring a little word of encouragement to them to keep them going another week. You understand? It ought to bring refreshment. Another time we find Jesus breaking bread is in Luke chapter number 22. And this is there in the upper room when He met with the disciples. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 19. Luke 22 and verse 19. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." You know, not only when we break bread should it bring refreshment, but it ought to also remind us of what God has done for us. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, that was no small thing. You know, that ought to be the emphasis of our message. You understand? That ought to be what we give our people. You understand? That ought to be the most important thing that we can tell a person about what God has done for us. You know, a lot of times, you know, and it's good to tell about different things that God has brought us through. That is good to do. But, you know, our emphasis ought to always go back to the cross and that first thing that He did for us. That most important thing that He did for us. And another thing, and lastly here, in Luke 24, in verse number 30, you know, He had walked with these people. And he stopped, you know, and He went in with them to their house. And it was at that point when He broke that bread that they recognized Jesus. You know, Jesus, as I said before, He breaks bread like no one else can. And you know, it says in verse number 30, "And it came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them." You know, not only when we break bread should it bring refreshment to God's people, and should it cause us to remember what He's done for us. But when we break bread, it also ought to reveal the Savior. You know, we ought not be seen. Jesus ought to be seen when we break bread for God's people. You know, Mary there in the garden, she recognized Him by His words. And those disciples there in the upper room, it was by His wounds that they recognized Him. But here, they recognize Jesus by His work. You know, Jesus does things like no one else can. You understand? In the midst of your problem, when you cannot see Jesus, He's there. You know, there's a great illustration of that with Noah in the ark. You know, when God told Noah and them to get on the ark, He said, "Come thou into the ark." You don't find God speaking another word until He told Noah, "Go forth out of the ark." Now, if He said, "Come forth into the ark," that means He was already in there. And if He had to say, "Go forth out of the ark," He was still there. See, if He'd have said, "Come forth out of the ark," that means He wasn't in there no more. And so, you know, God didn't speak another word to Noah in between that time, but He was there. You understand? Just because you cannot hear God speaking does not mean that He is not there in the midst of your problem and your trial that you're going through. He is there. You just wait. He'll reveal Himself. It may take some time. You know, it may take you getting your eyes off of your problem and looking toward Him. It may take something like that for Him to be able to reveal Himself to you. But He will. He's there. No matter what you're going through, He's there in the midst of it.
Amen. Miss Beryl, Miss Barb, if you will, come on. Amen. Well, I'm glad, thank God, I know when He spoke to my heart. Amen. Lost and undone, amen, needing God, had been raised in church, amen, I mean, I didn't know, when I was growing up, I didn't know nothing but church. I mean, Mom and Daddy, we went to revival meetings, cottage prayer meetings, just about everywhere that there's a meeting going on, that's where we went. But I tell you what, amen, just going to church, amen, don't save you. But when the voice of God spoke in my heart about 26 years old, amen, thank God I knew that voice, amen. And amen, I knew who was talking to me, and I knew I was in trouble. And amen, I'm glad, thank God, amen, he didn't let up on me either, amen. I'd go to bed at night, and he'd say, you know, you're not ready to go. You're lost, you're headed to hell. And I'd cry and weep and get up the next day and do the same things I was doing. But on a cold January night, 1980, things changed, amen. God spoke to my heart in salvation. I'm glad for it. Amen.
You pray for us. Praise God.